Freedom Fiends live. It is mid-June, June 15th. It's a Saturday. What's up? I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael Dean. What's up, man?
Holla, 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 holla.
Holla, holla, holla.
It's, this is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting from my windowless bunker in Beast Lake, Wyoming, which is in beautiful, sunny, and windy downtown Coyote Stole My Baby County, Wyoming.
Don't believe everything you hear, man. I heard Michael Dean, that cat has a freaking window in his bunker.
That cat, yeah. That's, that was something that the government, there's a meme going around that's a photo of me doing this show, and there's a window behind me in my windowless bunker, and that is...
But it was photoshopped in there.
The government did that, yeah. I don't have a window in my windowless bunker. Why would I? I have cameras outside my windowless bunker so I can see approaching G-Men while I listen to G. Gordon Liddy.
Yes.
That's an insider joke that...
And watch the squirrels be married.
Watch the squirrels be married. So, yeah, we're going to talk. There's two possible titles for today's episodic radio show. One is all headlines and government corruption lately isn't the government malfunctioning. It's just business as usual.
Ah,
it's kind of long. We could shorten it. But the other possibility is the squarest thing any musician can do is back any politician.
What about... The founding fathers were not democratically elected.
That's good, too. And, you know, I think you were saying that as a don't believe in democracy because democracy is two wolves and a sheep arguing over what to have for dinner. But people could also use it. Obama could use it as an argument for we need kings and we need tyrants because they
Ew.
your lovely founding fathers that you all worship and I am co-opting were not duly elected.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the thing about Obama and the administration is they use whatever's convenient for them at any given time to further their power. That's all anything is. And that's all any party that's in power, that's all they care about, man. They don't care about a platform. They don't care about what they told their voters. Once you're in power, that's all you can think about is to keep in power and further your own power.
That is so square, man. Politicians are so square. People think they're hip, too, which leads to my, we don't need to go there yet, but it does reference my idea of the squarest thing any musician can do is back any politician. I mean,
now, what inspired that, man? Did you recently see something, or did you cry a little tear when Jay-Z was talking about Obama, or what,
no,
what happened? No,
I see something and I say something, you know, because the DHS tells me to, so I'll go there now. You know, I watched these rockumentaries the other day, and one was about...
Don't say that.
I know. They were all about bands from the period where I was playing music and signed to a major label in a band called Cat. I mean, Bomb. It was actually called Bomb, but after 9/11, I was scared that I'd get in trouble for having a webpage with the word bomb, so I did a search and replace and replaced the word bomb with the word cat on every
If you were in New Zealand, you would have still gotten gooned.
Why? Are cats illegal in New Zealand?
Didn't they ban cats or something? Or try to?
Nah, just dingoes eat them. But here it's coyotes. Coyotes eat your baby, Wyoming.
They take your baby. Yeah.
So I was watching... I was watching these rockumentaries about these Gen X. I don't know. Am I Gen X? I don't know. I'm 49. I don't know what Gen X is.
You're not Gen X.
I don't know what that is. Is Gen X before me or after me?
Maybe you are. Maybe you're on like the very... Maybe you're an early adopter of Gen X. I don't know.
Well, I'm the last year of baby boomers too. 64.
I thought there was something after baby boomers that's not Gen X.
Oh yeah, there's I don't know, there's the gimme's generation. The I want it all. But anyway, what happened was you and I were working on an email to send out to advertisers, and in it we said, you know, and we will do we can use your ad or record an ad for you using, you know, and I said like commanding male voice or sultry female voice because we can have my wife do it. And I looked at the email and I thought the word sultry kind of looked like something else in writing, and you agreed. So we were looking for other words to use instead of sultry. So you were looking at some female voiceover resume site, and it described, you know, we ended up just using no adjective. It was just male or female voice.
Male or female.
Yeah, because we can
any
let
style
the
you
client,
want, right?
The client can tell us what to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we were looking at this site, and this with woman, the woman's styles of speaking that she could imitate were, you know, like blah, 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 blah. And one of them was Gen X. And you're like, what does Gen X sound like?
Yeah.
And
I
was like,
it's like you could like buy this or not. I don't care, man.
I don't even care. Yeah. I don't even know anymore. It doesn't matter. We're all going to die. Don't bother. Don't bother buying it. If you're cool, you'll buy it. But if you're really cool, you won't, man.
Yeah. According to Wiki, Gen X was after baby boomers. Baby boomers generation followed World War II generally from 1946 to 1964. Gen X is generally defined as those born after the baby boom ended. So when were you born?
Yeah, I was born 64, so I'm the last year of baby boomers, and Kurt Cobain would have been in Gen X. So I was watching some Gen X-y documentaries. I watched one about Nirvana, one about Hole, one about the Flaming Lips, and one about Pearl Jam. And when I was done, I was like, there's some great music in there. But when I was done with it, I was like, man, all those people, when they're talking and not rocking, it's like they're so insecure and cocky at the same time. They're just like, yeah, whatever. I'm on camera. I'm famous. Who cares? Whatever. I had a bad childhood. Whatever. And they were all hating on Republicans, which we hate on Republicans too, but we also hate on Democrats. And I really hated how some of those people got politically involved. Kurt Cobain never did. He probably never voted. He'd be like, I'll vote if you give me some heroin, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever. I do what I want. But, you know, the singer in Pearl Jam got really, really involved in Obama licking, you know, which
Eddie
really
Vedder,
me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was he saying?
We really just need to have Obama to make everybody
basically,
rich again.
Basically, yeah, it was horrible, man. I mean, people who see Democrats as the opposite of Republicans instead of like different flavor of, you know, do you want to be kicked in the groin or kicked in the face, which is how Republicans and Democrats are these days.
He was like the quote on the anarcho-syndicalist meme where it says, inequality makes people sad, so let's force everybody to be equal.
Dude, I just spit coffee on my computer keyboard. Dude, I like to spit coffee on my keyboard. Whatever. Dude. Whatever.
Whatever. You can just, who cares? Keyboards are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eye roll. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm
so,
sorry.
So all these bands, you know, I was like seeing stuff they had in common, and it was, and when he got to talking about Obama, this is before the election, I was like, really, the squarest thing any musician can do is back any politician, because rock and roll is about rebellion, and there is no politician who's about rebellion. You know, rock and roll
Not
of all,
at all.
When I say rock and roll, I include rap in that, I include punk rock, I include hip hop, I include all kinds of the hippin' and the hoppin', both the hippin' and the hoppin', and rock and roll and heavy metal. Rock and roll is about rebellion. And if you're standing up there saying, vote for this powerful millionaire in a suit to rule over this other over us instead of this other powerful millionaire in a suit, you are square.
You're no longer
man.
Rebellion.
You are square. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Ron Paul. We love Ron Paul, but any musician that's stumped for Ron Paul, you're still just voting for a millionaire in a suit. You know?
Yeah.
I like him as a philosopher, but not as a politician.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't understand the concept of wanting somebody to rule you, especially if your whole thing is supposed to be, we're young and we don't want anybody to tell us what to do.
I do what I want, yo.
I do what I want. Yeah.
I do what I want.
I do what I want. And what I want is somebody in power to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's square. It's square.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, when I hate hearing musicians talk, period. I mean, they say that writing about music is like dancing about architecture. Talking about your own music in a documentary, unless it's me doing it, talking about your own music is like watching fingernail paint dry, man. It's absurd. It's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Even watching,
I like talking about the process, like hearing producers
talk
about.
Well, I was
you know.
Just going to say, the Nirvana video wasn't mostly about Nirvana. It was mostly about the production of the record, Nevermind. And it was mostly interviews with Butch Vig in the studio where he was potting down different tracks and showing the background vocals. And
He plays the masters and he shows you what track the different, like the vocals were on and all the different guitars, and he turns them up and solos them for you to hear. Now, but in this recent rockumentary you watched, like, who was in it? Were these people that you had any tangential or otherwise connection to?
I had a connection with every musician back then. Some of them were tangential. Some of them weren't.
I knew everybody.
I kind of did. Well, the Nirvana, the whole documentary was about the drummer, I forget her name, Patty something, Patty and Selma.
Patty Hearst.
Who was the second drummer. Now, she took the place of the first drummer, Carolyn Yu, Rue. I dated Carolyn Rue for a short period of time. And I actually introduced Caroline to the lawyer that she hired to sue Courtney Love to get her royalties back. And Courtney Love was not happy about that. And it shows in this documentary, because in this, she's talking about how great their second drummer is, Courtney. And Courtney says something like, did we have a drummer before Patty? I don't even know. I don't even know, man. I think I don't know.
Who, don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
She said, I don't know who played on that first record. I don't think anybody played drums on that first record. Like, oh. But let's see, other connections I had. I was on the short list of people to replace the singer in Andy Wood, the singer in Mother Love Bone. So basically, I could have been the singer in Pearl Jam, but I'm really glad I didn't. It wouldn't have been good for me. And it wouldn't have been Pearl Jam. It would have been something completely different. And, you know, they'd already
had... would have been Bomb Jam.
Yeah, they'd already had one, you know, because they were fans of Bomb. Bomb played in Seattle a lot. They were... they'd already had one, like, sullen little blonde heroin addict egoist in their band. They didn't need another to replace the one that died, you know? So...
yeah. Yeah, and well, Eddie Vedder can sing. I like Eddie Vedder.
I do, too.
Pearl Jam's cool. I do, too. I just wish he would sing only about him being sad because he didn't get what he wanted, rather than sing about how Barack Obama is going to save the world.
Barack! Yo! I know.
Barack you like a hurricane.
He's just like George Bush, but he's a different color, and he's really cool, and he looks like someone you'd want to have a beer with. Who knows? You know, who cares that he kills babies all over the world with drones and still wants to throw you in a cage for smoking a joint?
They don't want to have a beer with him. They want to drink wine with him, or drink a apple cider, a sparkling apple cider.
Yeah,
people wanted to drink a beer with Bush. People said that. Yeah, he looks like a guy you could drink a beer with.
Well,
and yeah, Bush was like a frat boy at UT. Is what he reminded. I could see people wanting to drink a beer, shotgun a beer with George Bush. But
well, Obama had a beer summit with some people back in his first term. In his first term, he was more like pretending to be proletariat. You know, he's still doing that, and it comes off like white face to me. It comes off like I'll pretend to be a hick for a minute to get your votes. I saw him talking about basketball the other day, and he's like, he's holding up a jersey, and he's like, well, I got my jersey, and I got my... I mean, he's putting on like a hick accent, trying to be one of the people, man. It's ridiculous.
Ugh.
Ridiculous.
Well, almost like that meme thing with him shooting the shotgun, and they put out a directive, nobody Photoshop this. And so everybody, of course, Photoshopped
yeah.
it.
Worms. Yeah.
But we'll be back from the market very soon.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
And we're back. This is Freedom Fiends live on Saturday, June 15th. Yes, it is me, Nima Vidati, up in the ATX, or should I say down in Austin, Texas. And we've also got Michael W. Dean in Beast Lake, Wyoming.
Hala.
Underground. Hala. In his windowless bunker. What's up?
I said holla. Holla. Like holler backwards, and it sounded like holla. Holla.
Holla.
Hello, yella.
Hello.
I remember watching True Lies and all the Middle Eastern terrorist bad guys are like, hello, yella, hello, yella. That was before Derpa Derpa Muhammad Jihad, of course.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Let's talk about, we say that a lot, I don't know what that is, because I'm 20 years older than you, and we don't know a lot of each other's cultural references. I don't know current and hip-hop and current and, you know, how when you say you're going to get a sippy pimp cup for your child, I don't know what that is.
You say that.
You said that, man. But then when I say, like, well, you know, the Quicksilver Messenger Service was one of the better bands to come out of the Hate Bashbury era, you're like, I don't know what that is. Which
hate
actually,
Bashbury? Was
hate
that like
Bashbury?
A
caffeine. Caffeine.
That was a hate crime infested area. Hate
call
Bashbury.
The Obama police. I'm ODing on caffeine, and the DSM says that is now mental illness.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, I don't know what that is. I don't.
Yeah, but our saying, I don't know what that is. It comes from two things. What are they?
Oh, okay. So one of them is Arrested Development, the mother who's rich, upper class, has never associated with you peons. They are short on money, and they go to like a place, and it's kind of like a Luby's or maybe like a Shoney's or a Denny's or something. And they walk in, and she says what she'll have. Like, I'll have the tuna. And the waitress goes, okay, plate or platter? And the old rich lady goes, I don't know what that is, and I'm not going to respond.
Yeah, and then there's another I don't know what that is in The Simpsons, where you find out that Seymour Skinner, the principal of the school, who lives with his mother at like age 50, you find out that like he's not actually her son. And what happened was during the Vietnam War, he was POW MIA, and his buddy in his platoon went to tell his mother the news that he's probably, you know, that he's MIA, and bring her some of his property. And she is so in need of a son, and it's not a healthy thing. It's a really sick, you know, kind of like Hitchcockian thing, that she pretends or believes that this other guy is her son and says, Seymour, and hugs him and comes in, and he goes along with it. And then later it's revealed that the switch has happened and the real son moves back in, and he's not compliant with his mother. He's not like, yes, mother. And he's going out, and she's like, it's 10 o'clock at night. Where could you be going? And he says, I'm going to a bar, mother. And she says, I don't know what that is.
That's great. Well, okay. So we had a direction to take it, but we've also got somebody calling in. I'll let it be up to you, Michael. What do you think? Should we take this call?
All
right. So let's go to the phones. We've got Steve in Faribault, Minnesota. At least I think that's how it's pronounced. Are you there for us, Steve? No? No? Okay. Let me try again. Steve, can you hear us?
What's up, Steve?
I'm hanging in there. I think I got the wrong show.
Okay. What show were you calling? What were you calling? See, that's why we don't take calls. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your call. Yeah.
I don't. He heard my voice and he was like, I don't know what that is.
That's not Alex Jones. Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Good
okay.
times. Well, so I was gonna finish talking about Nirvana. Yeah, they were fans of my band Bomb. Their drummer, who's now some big rock star, what's his name?
Yeah. Dave Grohl.
Yeah,
man.
He used to come see Bomb and stand up front and know all the words. And the bass player actually wrote an article in his blog in the Seattle Weekly about how great Bomb was and how if they were from Seattle, they would have been a household word. And someone I know who knows someone said he and Kurt Cobain used to listen to our first demo tape, which actually there were only like 100 copies made of. And somehow I guess people copied copies of a copy of a copy and he got one. So worms.
Which is great because you don't fear piracy. You fear being
obscurity.
Unknown.
Yeah. Obscurity. And that's a quote we've said before and we want to reiterate from Tim O'Reilly, who runs O'Reilly Media, who's the good O'Reilly, not the statocrat O'Reilly. But we're going to get into statocrat right-wing talk show hosts who believe some of what we believe, but not a lot of what we believe. See, we're the weird kind of talk show host that's going to be all the talk shows in 5 years. Like, literally, Glenn Beck is going to be our board op. In 5 years, he's going to be working for us.
I'm not sure if he'd be competent enough at that, but I guess we'll find out. He'll still have to audition.
But we're going to take over. So, yeah, I mean, basically there's four kind of libertarian talk shows now. There's us, there's Free Talk Live, who have pretty much the same politics as us. There's Alex Jones, who's weird and cool and has, you know, he's a constitutionalist, but we like him. And then there's Peter Schiff, actual libertarian, who has a show
took
now.
Took over the G. Gordon Liddy show, actually.
Yeah.
Inherited it.
Yeah. I want to inherit a show.
I know, right? Worms. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yes, yes. It's the Freedom Fiends. That's us. We're live. It's the 15th of June, I think, is the month, right? And I'm Nima Vidotti, and I'm down in Texas. And Michael's up in Wyoming. Wyoming's actually called the Cowboy State. So I know everybody's always like, you live in Texas? What do the tumbleweeds look like? What kind of boots do you have? But Michael's in the Cowboy State, man, not me.
Yeah, you have more cowboy hats in Texas, but you have more real cowboys here, I think.
I suppose the only hats I see in Austin are hipsters wearing them, ironically.
Trucker hats and ironic cowboy hats. There's a lot of ironic cowboy hats, and it's really kind of disgusting to me. You know, who's that folk singer that's the gun hater? Or not folk singer, rocker. Sheryl Crow, man. She should not wear a cowboy hat. She doesn't get to.
She should also not talk in public.
Yeah, she should just sing, but not about guns. And how can you write a song about ammo at Walmart being a bad thing? I mean,
did she?
That's not a good song title. I mean, even if you hate guns, it's just not a good song subject, man.
Yeah, that's stupid.
The squarest thing any musician can do is do anything other than play music.
Well, you know what else I've noticed is people who are in that gun-grabby mode, they all really think that you can buy a fully automatic machine gun at any Walmart ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, my Walmart that I go to, you can buy a paintball gun and an airsoft gun, and that's about it.
Yeah. So square.
It is.
Yeah, you know, Kurt Cobain, too, we were talking about him earlier. I noticed I was listening to that Nirvana in that rockumentary, and he said the word gun in about every third song, and it kind of seemed kind of anti-gun, and he was kind of anti-gun. And he actually gave an interview at one point where they said, like, it was in Rolling Stone, and when he got the cover, and they're like, how do you feel about getting on the cover of the Rolling Stone? And he said, I'm terrified because every crazy person in America who owns a gun now knows what I look like. But, you know, in the long run, the only crazy person in America with a gun that he needed to be afraid of was himself.
Oh, deep thoughts by Michael.
It's true, man. It's true. So all these headlines of government corruption lately, I mean, I'm not even going to enumerate them. If y'all listen to talk radio or the news or the mainstream news or the underground news or the Alex Jones really underground news or the anything, you know, there's like, you know, 15 things right now that the White House is facing that are all of Watergate proportions or more. And if the
bigger,
if the media wasn't, you know, I mean, think basically Watergate was over spying on Americans, which is what the government does 24/7 all the time now. And we've been talking about it for 2 years since before it broke and everyone's talking about it now. But
it was spying on a few Americans. It wasn't spying on every American ever.
They were spying on us back then, but we were cool. We were spied on before everybody was spied on. We were spied on before it was cool, man.
Yeah, man. Not everybody gets spied on. It's just not as cool anymore.
The thing is, it's, you know, all the right-winger talk radio show hosts, you know, who are like, more, they're gun grabby too. They're politics. Okay, Republicans like Peter King, who's, you know, a senator from New York, Republican, he's the biggest gun grabber in the world. And he like backed the IRA, the Irish Republican Army. And he's basically, they're terrorists. The United States government considers them terrorists. And he's on like a terror board watch, you know, lying to Congress kind of thing. Light typing. What are your job duties? Yes. Light typing and lying to Congress. That's a Simpsons reference. So
sounds about right.
Everyone's complaining like the government is out of control. There's all these horrible things happening under this administration. I'm looking at it like it's just government business as usual. That's what governments do. And it's a combination. The fact that it's everywhere and in your face is a combination of three things. One is government being around longer. The longer it's, you know, a given government is in power, the more power it has, and that means the less power the people have. The second thing is the 24/7 news cycle, and the third thing is the internet. Now think about what it's like now whistleblowing compared to what it was like, you know, with Watergate or with the Pentagon Papers. Back then you basically had to get a newspaper willing to publish it and not turn you into the government and have you killed.
Which means you not only had to get the journalists on your side, but you had to get the journalists' editors on your side. And if they didn't want to upset a certain politician or political group, they wouldn't publish it, or they would wait. What's his name? Bradley Manning actually tried to go to the New York Times, and they were like, nah, well, we're not going to do anything with that. This, you know, with the WikiLeaks, which ended up being huge. And so he gave it to Julian Assange instead. After Assange publishes it, then all the newspapers, once the pee is in the pool, they're like, oh, let's go scoop that up.
Yeah.
And, you know, then New York Times ran with it.
By pee in the pool, we have a saying that taking something off the internet is like taking pee out of a pool with a teaspoon. But I guess that newspapers, I mean, a lot of people saying they're not really relevant anymore because of the internet, but I guess the only purpose they serve now is to point people to stuff that's already on the internet. That's why newspapers still exist, because, you know, whenever people leak something, they leak it on the internet and then they tell the New York Times and the London Post and the London Daily Statist about it. And then those papers kind of validate it to the world and make everyone look at it. They still act as gatekeepers in some way, but really, we don't need that, man.
Well, to me, they're gatekeepers in the sense that they still have that function of telling people what to think about. Not everybody. They don't have the monopoly on it anymore. But still, at this point, societies where in polite company, you can really only espouse the things that a mainstream media outlet talks about. If you start talking about Freedom Fiend stuff or Alex Jones stuff with specifics in certain crowds of people, you're going to get stink
crazy,
looks.
Crazy. You're crazy. They call you crazy.
Although what I've found as a good tactic, I've been visiting people from my past and family recently, and a good tactic is to just complain about something the government's doing without any specifics on what you think should happen. Just complain about the government, and people will be like, "Yeah, man, that's the problem. It completely sucks that I have to follow this regulation, or that I don't have a job because of that regulation." People really identify with that, and if you can get them to feel those emotions against the government often enough and about as many things as he can, then the battle's half won.
Well, 53% of Americans now say they feel the federal government is a threat to their liberty. So under democracy, since a majority now feels that way, can't we dissolve the federal government peacefully by a vote?
Oh, hey, if only it were that easy.
And that's the problem with what I was talking about how the longer a government's together, the more it just takes power from the people and the people have no power. And, you know, really, our answer is peaceful. It's just educating everyone about the non-aggression principle, which really is the one basic policy, the one, what's your word that you like to use? First principle.
First principle, yes.
Yeah, and the non-aggression principle is basically don't aggress on others. And when you're voting for politicians to do one thing because you like one thing but not another thing, you are engaging in violence because you are encouraging politicians to have power. You are encouraging, and it's a big deal. A lot of people are like, I heard this radio show where they were saying don't vote. I'm not even saying don't vote. I'm just saying if you vote and if you still believe in the political process, you are giving power to the people that are going to come take your guns. You are, or if you don't like guns, if you like weed, or if you like gay marriage, or you like any of those wedge issues, you are giving power to the system. They can take it away. And when there's a system that can give you anything, they can take anything away too.
Yes. Yes. Excellent rant number one.
No, I'm not done, man. I'm not even done. I'm going to build on that for number two. So Ellsberg, who was the guy who leaked the Pentagon Papers. Now, normally you'd say, I don't know what that is. But since you went to journalism school, is that why you know what the Pentagon Papers are? Or they don't teach that anymore. They just teach
No, they do. Do they? They taught us that in J school. Although it was probably in history of journalism, which we had a professor in history of journalism who was really great. He was kind of I don't know if he was anti-state or what he was, but he definitely pointed out that a lot of U.S. military interventions and actions with regard to foreign policy often create the opposite effect of their stated purpose. And I'm pretty sure he's the one who taught us about the Pentagon Papers, but also because I listened to Scott Horton, who actually interviews Daniel Ellsberg regularly.
Yeah.
I know about the Pentagon Papers. And basically, Ellsberg was in the government. I think he was some kind of intelligence official, either in a cabinet level thing like the Department of Defense, or maybe it was.
Go on, you're guessing. Just say he was something.
All right, he was something, man. And
I don't know what that is. I don't even care.
He had intelligence.
I don't even care anymore. I don't care.
That the Gulf. You don't care. Right.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. I'm being the Gen X guy, man.
Basically, like what he knew that what had happened with the Gulf of Tonkin was just a dude operating the sonar who got it wrong. Like they weren't being fired on. There were no torpedoes. He was picking up the signal from the propeller or something silly like that because it was his first day on the job or something. So Ellsberg had all these documents showing that, hey, you know, the justification for ramping up the Vietnam War was all BS. And it was huge. And he dropped that bomb and he leaked it. And then he got in trouble and was almost Bradley Manninged. But he won his case and became known thereafter as an American hero. And now he's calling Snowden a bigger American hero than himself. He says Snowden's NSA leak is more important than my Pentagon Papers.
And, you know, the one that has all the historical like, oh, my God, that's the one that all reporters want to grow up and be, you know. The Watergate thing wasn't that big. It was a president spying on his political opponents. And basically now the NSA is doing what Watergate did, even more so to every single American, you know. And I'm not sticking up for Nixon. The man was horrible. He was an evil, evil, evil dude. And he's part of the reason the federal government got so big. He invented the EPA. He passed a whole bunch of crazy crap. He ramped up he kind of started the drug war. I mean, pot was illegal in the 30s because the alcohol and tobacco people didn't have anything to do after alcohol was re-legalized. They didn't have as much to do, so they went after pot. And all the people who were like, I don't like alcohol, so no one should be able to drink it, they suddenly needed a new fight. So all the square old biddies who couldn't get none had to go after pot. But Nixon really ramped it up, and he did all sorts of horrible things that led to where we are today. And, you know, Now this dude Obama's got it, and everybody elected him because they thought, he's really cool. I'd like to have a beer with him. He's not like George Bush at all. He's more like one of my college professors. Whereas George Bush is like my cranky old grandfather. You know, they elected Obama because he seemed cool and because he wasn't like George Bush. And he's exactly like George Bush on everything.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of Snowden and Obama, the people who are on the side of the tyrannical government spying on you all the time, like Rahul Sagar on CNN's opinion page, the headline he writes is, "Who Decides What's Secret, Obama or Snowden?" And the guy at Talking Points Memo also brought this up, that, hey, why do we let Snowden? Why is it Snowden's decision if we know that the government's spying on us? That should be up to Barack Obama to decide if we know how much he's spying.
Yeah. The name of that article, like, it's anti-Snowden, but to me it sounds pro-Snowden. Like, who should decide, Obama or Snowden? Snowden,
yeah,
of course, man.
And we think Snowden, yeah, definitely. But other people don't, apparently. And we'll be back with more of that.
I think they're going to say he's spying for China and drone him. That's my prediction. Unfortunately.
Yeah. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Holla, holla, we's back. It's the bottom of the first hour of Freedom Fiends live on Saturday, June 15th. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. And Michael, you had some things you wanted to ask me.
Speak English. Speak English or die.
That's my English.
As the Republicans say. You know,
I speak words and you know what they mean. And I don't want to talk to you.
There was something in the 1800s called the Know Nothing Party, which is the subgroup of the Republican Party, which actually led to the nativist idea, which is nativism means like, we're the ones here. No one else should come in. Go home. We're full. America's full.
Which is funny because they're not natives.
Yeah. And what's even funnier is they called themselves Native Americans before that term was used on Indians, I guess you could call them.
Wow.
Like,
wow. That's ignorant. They're being ignorant.
I don't know what the term to use when we're saying Native Americans, what they call themselves, as opposed to, okay, what Native Americans means now. I'll say that.
Right.
Yeah. So that goes all the way back to there. And Millard Fillmore was a big proponent of that. It was a Protestant-only thing. So first of all, if you're Catholic and a Republican, the early Republican Party hated Catholics and didn't want them in. Secondly, if your school or town square is named Fillmore or street is named Fillmore or you're from the Fillmore, that's named after a racist, not racist, but nativist, anti-Catholic, pro-Protestant-only, America, like they wanted a pure white America. So if you're a Fillmoreite, you're a jerk.
Well, the thing about political parties is there are sometimes defining moments where, like, there's almost polarity shifts and the parties become opposites or different, or there's realignments. I mean, in the FDR's New Deal in World War II, it was the Democrats who were horrible and the liberal progressives who were horrible on civil liberties. And they were out there printing op-eds saying that people who were anti-war or anti the government controlling the economy, i.e. the New Deal, then those people should be thrown in jail. Kind of like how the liberal Democrats are out there saying Snowden should be thrown in jail. And yeah. Justin Raimondo wrote a great article about this, and he basically says the Snowden moment is one of those realignment moments. Now, he said a few things recent history, you know, in the past few years have been realignment moments, and we've yet to see them. But that's the latest thing Raimondo says, is this Snowden thing, where you fall on it, you know, if you think he's a hero or you think he's a criminal, that's going to be the new political divide.
You know, even the word progressive, originally progressive, meant that you wanted corporate progress. You wanted industrialization progress backed by the government. So originally, the progressive Democrats at the turn of the last century, they were basically the one percenters. They were so there's another twist that's gone.
Right. You know? Well, and there's still some of that because, you know, they – people on the left-ish areas, they're so fond of this Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's this like scientist that's always on TV because he's photogenic.
Because he's hipster.
And one of their favorite things about him is that he does this presentation about how great it would be to give a bunch more money to NASA. And he's got this thing where he says, let's give this much money to NASA. No, let's go crazy here. Let's give NASA all our money and see what would happen. And let's just do that as a thought experiment. And his argument is if the state stole all this money from the people and gave all that stolen money to NASA, then we would all be better off and we would have flying cars and we'd be living in
You end up with drones, man. I watched the moon landing in 1969 when I was five. I watched it with my dad on TV, and it was one of the defining moments of my childhood. I was like so proud of America and so proud of NASA, and it made me want to be a scientist. And I was like, this can only lead to more good. And look at all the great spinoffs of this technology we're already seeing, like touch tone phones, you know, a couple years later. And, you know, but really we didn't get the flying cars. We got the drones. We got the drones and the jackbooted thugs and the technology to spy into our houses and take our guns. That all came out of NASA technology. So giving the government, giving anyone stolen money is not a good thing and doesn't lead to technologies being used for the people. It's always against the people, man.
And it's the theft where you go wrong. That's what makes it economically inviable, or not inviable, but that's the thing that makes it a bad thing.
It's unconservative, I mean, man. Any conservative who wants the government to steal money to do anything is not a conservative, because conservative means you don't want big government. And stealing money for any new things to fix some problem is not a conservative action. We'll be back in hour two of the Freedom Fiends. We're going to talk about a concept of the only ones, like the government think they are the only ones that should have guns and the only ones that should be able to spy on everybody and listen in on things. I'm not saying everyone should be able to spy on everyone, but they should be able to spy on us. You
know? Yeah, we're going to try to knock down that premise, and I think we're going to succeed. So stay tuned to the Freedom Fiends.
That sounds good, Nima. I'll be there.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
All right, folks, I'm Nima Vedati, and I am a freedom fiend, but I am not the only one. Michael W. Dean is also one. What's up, Mr. Dean?
I'm the only one in this room smart enough to use a Glock 40.
A Glock 40. I know how to use it more than 50 Cent and Tupac.
Tupac. Yo, Tupac. Yo. So, do you believe in the right to bear arms, Nima?
Yes.
Actually, the appropriate answer is I'm armed right now. That's the only the only thing Ted Nugent's ever done that we agree with is writing the song Stranglehold, which is amazing. But that was like 160 years ago. And we don't agree with him on most of his crap. He's such a nativist, he's such a drug warrior and a pro-war and kill everybody who ain't American type. But we kind of like him on guns sometimes. And we like his answer when someone said, do you believe in the right to bear arms? He was on some talk show, some lefty talk show, and he said, I'm armed right now. Or I have, he said, I have some on me right now. Right. It wasn't, I have one on me right now. I really like that
answer. I think what he said was the right to bear arms means I have some on me right now.
Yeah, yeah. And we have some on us right now. I'm wearing shorts, and I have a two-shot Derringer 22 in my shorts pocket that I could use. You know, they say that really, the only gun you ever want to have, the gun is the rifle. And the sidearm or the handgun is just to fight your way back to your rifle. Well, yes. my two-shot Derringer is to fight my way back to my handgun, to fight my way back to my rifle. So
right. There you go.
Yeah.
Mine's on the desk because I'm wearing pajama pants. So live radio, you can do that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we like live radio. We can be anyway. Yeah, it's good for old people. It's good for old people. Yeah. I'm starting this career at age 49, which is kind of young in talk radio, actually. And, you know, the guys who are really at the top of their game, you know, in rock music, it's like if you're not by the top, at the top of your game by 30, you're never going to be. But with talk radio, it's like 60 or 70, 80.
Well, see, when I was on TV, I had to wear suit pants as well as the suit and the tie. But I could get away with not wearing shoes. So that was a step.
I wonder if there's any like really big TV anchors who were just like, I'm not wearing pants behind this desk and you can't make me and it's going to be in my contract.
Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, he always wears jeans and it's kind of a thing. He's like, I will only, you know, wear a suit up to a certain point because I'm different.
So in other words,
I'm a renegade like Sarah Palin.
No, so in other words, what he shows to the public isn't really him. And we're going to talk about that with Sean Hannity when we get a little further. Although what he shows to himself isn't really him, which we're going to talk about. But first we want to talk about the only ones. It's a phrase that Mike Vandebau came up with. Mike Vandebau is he's on the Southern Poverty Law Center watch list of terrible Americans, which is a good thing. We want to be on it. I check it every week, and we're not on it. And I get kind of disappointed that we're not on it yet.
Every day you check talkers, and you check Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes, that's what. When I was, you know, when I was in rock bands, I'd check Maximum Rock and Roll and Spin every day, and you know, I got in each one a couple times. But now I'm checking talkers. We've been in there a couple times, and then I check the Southern Poverty Law Center to see if they've declared us terrorists yet, because we believe in because we don't love Obama.
Because we believe in freedom,
free speech. Yeah. So he's on their top 40 Americans that are ruining America list, which is a good thing. And we don't agree with him on everything. I mean, he is or was a little nativist. He used to have border patrols, voluntary border patrols, but they weren't racist because his militia had like a black guy and a Jewish guy and a Mexican guy in it too. So it wasn't about race. It was about law, which I think is ridiculous. And later we'll get into the whole immigration thing. I mean,
legal positivists to me are just as bad or worse than racists.
Yeah. But, and I think he's changed on that a bit too. I think he realizes that nothing any government does is good. He's still a constitutionalist and we like him and he's blogged us a few times. He's blogged some things by the fiends, some movies we made and some music we made. But what I love about Mike Vandebau is he came up with a phrase, it's the only ones. And he always puts it in quotes. I don't know if he got it somewhere else or whatever, but he uses it for gun grabbers because they're the only ones that should have guns. They're the only ones that should be armed. And look at it. I mean, you can see examples like Obama wants to take our guns away and send them to Syria. Like he's basically arming Al-Qaeda right now and wants to take our guns because he's the only ones who's smart enough. His people are the only ones who can decide who has guns.
Right. And what's wrong with people's attention spans? You know, the average Joe says stuff like, oh, did you just hear? Did you hear? The Syrian government is using chemical weapons on their own people. And no, that's a story from 6 months ago. The Obama administration, when it suited them, said, no, that's not a big deal. We looked into the reports. They don't seem like they're corroborated. They don't seem like a real thing, you know, because they didn't want to get more involved. Now that it looks like the Assad regime is winning and that the civil war could end sometime in the near future, now they're saying, oh, well, yeah, remember that thing? Yeah, we looked at it again. They actually did cross the red line. So we're going to go ahead and send weapons to Al-Qaeda. Plus, Hillary Clinton, like a year ago, you can go look it up on YouTube. She says, are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria? When she's talking about why to back off on helping out the rebels. And yes, it's been reported by people like Pepe Escobar that a big portion of the rebels in Syria aren't even from Syria. They're just militants, Islamist
they're immigrants.
That came from other parts of immigrants. The Middle East to fight.
Illegal some immigrants coming across the border.
Exactly. Well, look at this. Some of the folks that are fighting in the rebellion in Syria, they just crossed the border. They just drove a few miles from Iraq to Syria. These are guys that we were talking about how important it was to kill them when our soldiers were in Iraq. Same dude. Like, same guys just drive across the border, and all of a sudden we give them guns instead of shooting them with bullets.
Yeah. And that short-sightedness with the news or believing the news is kind of like believing when George Bush said there's weapons of mass destruction, but in that case there weren't. In this case there are, but they've been there for a while, but suddenly the news covers it and then everyone's talking about it at the water cooler. So
yeah,
but this phrase, the only ones, we love it. It's such a great example of how the government, not even example, it's such a great explanation of what the government is, of what government is, of what you elect people and then they rule you, and how ridiculous that is. And, you know, we say we lost our guns in a voting accident. On gun forums, people often say I lost my gun in a boating accident, because basically that's none of your business what guns I have, stranger on the internet. But we say we lost them in a voting accident. And that's basically because if you support voting for either party or anyone, you are voting for people who have the power to take you away. And if you're like, I hate those Democrats, I vote Republican only. And you and I, Nima and I, we're bashing Republicans here. You and I are actually registered Republicans.
Yeah.
We haven't voted in a while, but and I would never.
I registered just so I could be a delegate for Ron Paul back in 2008 and haven't switched it.
Yeah, and I voted for so I could work for the Wyoming. I was the chair for the Republican Liberty Caucus, which is a Republican libertarian group in Wyoming, or nationally, but I was the Wyoming chairman. And the thing is, it's funny, in California, where I used to live, if you forget to vote, like, California is still sending us postcards here 4 years later saying, please update your vote. They're like, we don't want to lose a voter. And I throw them away. In Wyoming, if you don't vote for one cycle, they send you a postcard that says, if you don't return this postcard and say you want to be voted, we take you off the voter rolls. So I like that.
Good.
So I guess I'm not registered Republican anymore. But so the only ones, and we don't know where Mike V got this phrase. I used to have his phone number, but I don't have it anymore. I guess I could call the NSA and get it from them. But
we have an inkling, though, and it's a really hilarious one.
And even if he didn't get it, this is a further explanation of it. There's a video that went around of a DEA cop speaking to a group of, like, you know, eighth graders in a public school and talking about why drugs are bad. And he had his sidearm on, and he pulled it out and said, you know, this is a Glock 40, which no, it's a Glock model. Let me explain before you play
okay.
it. You know, he said a Glock 40, which is like the hip hop term for it. It's a 40 cal, but it's a Glock model 23. He's using the street vernacular and then saying all the rappers that use this talk about this gun. And then he says he's the only one in this room smart enough or trained enough to hold this gun. And then he shoots himself in the foot. It went viral. The guy lost his job. Then he sued the DEA for him being humiliated by some kid posting this. And we actually used this in our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, to make fun of the idea of the only ones. But I wonder if this is where Mike V got the term the only ones. But if not, it sure fits. So why don't you go ahead and play the only ones cop video shot on a cell phone by some kid in a high school.
Here you go.
This is a Glock 40. 50 Cent, Too Short, all of them talk about Glock 40. Okay, I'm the only one in this room professional enough that I know of to carry this Glock 40. I'm the only one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
It just gets me every time. I wish people could see. This is the time, times like this, I wish we had video just so you could see the image. When the guy, after he realizes he shot himself in the foot, literally, the reaction in his body language is just priceless. Oh, man.
He also tries to finish the lecture instead of going to the hospital, which, you know, A for effort, but the kids are just in horror. They ain't going to hear anything after that. And he picks up another weapon. Like, he picks up a rifle.
And they all scream.
And they all scream. And then, like, the teacher comes over and says, maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the hospital. But, yeah, that's and, you know, think about – and he also – muzzle sweeps the whole class. Like, he basically points a loaded Glock at every kid in the room and then shoots himself in the foot with it. It's bad, bad, bad gun form, man, in every way.
Well, that is, to me, it sums up why the only ones is a fallacy, and we should call it as such, call it the only ones fallacy, because everybody is a human. Every human makes mistakes. Every human is fallible, you know? Nobody's perfect. It's cliche, and those are a bunch of cliches, but it's so true. And the thing about statism and believing that a certain class or group or category of people is superhuman is the biggest mistake society has ever made, and that's what leads to things like the Iraq war and saying, oh, WMDs, let's go kill a million people and spend $1 trillion and it'll fix it, and then it doesn't fix it, and then there's no accountability because they claim the mantle of only ones to decide how much money gets spent and how many people get killed.
Yeah, and there's stuff all the time that governments do and government people do that proves why probably everyone should have guns except them. I mean, there's intent. Yeah. There's intentional stuff that's planned, like Obama trying to take our guns with Eric Holder, and then Eric Holder giving guns to violent gun criminals in Mexico.
Yep.
Or violent criminals. I don't even want to say gun criminals or drug criminals. They're criminals in Mexico.
Right.
Who murder people, who murder American, you know, government officials with those same guns. There was a recent one. Here's a headline for you. Road rage led to fatal shooting, charges for New Jersey detective. Off-duty cop got in a fight with somebody over getting cut off in traffic, pulled out his service revolver, and murdered the guy. Ugh. And the guy's a cop. These are the people that the only ones say should be the only ones who have guns. And we're going to have more on this and why Sean Hannity should step aside and give us his slots after this on the Freedom Fiends.
Peace.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends, and we are Bizak. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there. And we wanted to bring it back. So we talked about the only ones fallacy in the last segment, i.e. that certain statist government officials, etc., think they're the only ones smart enough, powerful enough, and doggone it, good enough to decide what all of us get to do and to control our lives. And really, that is the first principle of statism. We like to talk about first principles and the fact that we're not anti-government, we're not anti-state just because we don't like it. We are that way because we have a first principle that initiation of aggression is wrong always.
And we're not like that because we had a bad potty training, which I've actually I've heard people accused of oh, you just don't like authority because you had a bad potty training. No, man. Because
I was potty trained early.
We know in our potty train early and potty train often. No, we know in our heart of hearts that the initiation of aggression, of pointing a gun at people's head, figuratively and literally, to make them do something they don't want to do when it's not immoral to do or not do what they're doing or not doing, is immoral. And that's what governments do, and that's a violation of the non-aggression principle. The non-aggression principle, explain that, Nima. That's our first principle.
You just explained it perfectly. But the thing about the only ones is you flip it around a little bit, and it becomes something that jives with the non-aggression principle and thus jives with reality. You listener, you are the only one who is responsible for your own defense, for your own safety, and for your own economic viability. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it is in reality. Everything else is an impediment on that.
It is an impediment on that.
Impediment, yes. An impediment on my speech. but yeah, so... Oh, Michael.
Did I harm you?
It just saddens me that people fall for this only one's fallacy. And I think they fall hard, man. They do. And I think the real solution to that is realizing that when it comes to protecting yourself, you are the one who has the ultimate power. And so you should carry a sidearm. You should become proficient in shooting. You should buy, you know, things to hedge you against the Federal Reserve ruining your life and ruining the viability of your family and things like that. And in the end, that's all that ever stops things like terrorism. I mean, the underwear bomber and all these things that were half-baked terrorist scandals, they weren't solved by the NSA spying on everybody. They weren't prevented by the FBI. They were prevented by people who were on planes or in public who saw something bad happening, saw a violent person starting to commit a violent act, and stopped it. That is the most powerful thing. We don't need a giant panopticon police state to control everybody to keep us safe, because guess what? It doesn't keep anybody safe. And then you have the giant panopticon police state tyrannizing and torturing and terrorizing everybody. Whereas if you didn't have any of that, people would take care of it themselves. Everyone is the only one, not a select few.
Feisty rant number two of the Freedom Fiends on June 15th, 2013. That was really good. So many people violate first principles, and it's often the people who say they are the most principled. And after this break coming up, we're going to play a clip by Sean Hannity, who is the king of violating first principles. Basically, it's become the American way in a lot of ways. And I'm not criticizing America. I don't want to have people saying, Michael Dean said something bad about America. He said something under his breath, like, I hate this country. When he was judging kids, America's Kids Got Singing. You know, that guy that did that, that singer in, God, what is that band? I don't even care or know.
What a maroon. It was Maroon 5, wasn't it?
Yeah. Maroon 5.
Adam Levine.
Yeah. They turned that around. On Flag Day, he performed at 30 Rock, and I didn't see it, but I bet you anything he was saying. And I love the troops, and I love the flag, and I love the flag troops. Oh, I want to say my wife just got off the phone with my son who's in the Army, and he shot expert today, which is pretty darn cool. Expert shooter in the family. Good to know. So,
yeah.
Let's talk a little more about first principles and people violating them. Like, for instance, there's a lot of people right now talking about immigration. Well, we think the answer to immigration is just take away everything that's free and then open the borders. That's basically it.
Yeah.
That's the only ethical thing to do. And...
Well, the only good argument anybody has is they take up welfare, they suck up all these resources, public education, all this kind of stuff. They tax our public resources.
They take our jobs. Yeah, and you know, anybody who says it's hard to get a job right now, Nima's a good example of why that isn't true. In the 3 years I've known you, you've had 5 jobs, and you haven't quit any of them in a huff and said, I do what I want. And thrown the mop bucket on the floor. You worked at a news station that you were trained to do in college. You worked at another news station you were trained to do in college. You finally decided you didn't want to be a mouthpiece for the state. You got a job delivering pizzas. You worked at Amazon, and now you're going to be installing TVs. So anybody, you don't go more than 3 days without a job, man. I respect that about you.
All right. And we'll be back with more of our freedom-loving job right here.
And making fun of Hannity.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Saving the universe! Freedom Fiends! Doing the things that I've
taking the world from the state! Fighting the forces of hate!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Kicking the hornet's nest!
Freedom Fiends. That's us. I'm Nima V. We've also got Michael Dean. What it do? And we're going to start off with, we've been pitching this or plugging this or foreshadowing.
We've been teasing Sean Hannity. We're teasing him. Hi, we're going to have some Sean Hannity after the break. Okay, really, it's after the next break. No, really, after the next break.
All right.
Play the darn Sean Hannity being a lunatic. Now, to set this up, what this is somebody's put together, it was actually put together by Media Matters, who are horribly leftist statist, but they did some work for us that we don't need to do by doing this. So we're going to do
it. Maybe it's somebody different. It says Media Matters for America. So maybe it's some no relation.
It's them. That's the name of them. And they put some cheesy music behind it, which we wish wasn't there. Why do people do that? It's because they can. They think they're being creative when they're really, if you're just trying to show someone saying something and the contradiction with the same person saying something else later, you don't need music under it. But anyway, so this is Sean Hannity when Bush was president and now that Obama's president. Nima's going to stop it where it switches to explain where it switches. And it's Sean Hannity on government spying on people and how he was really for it under Bush and really against it under Obama. And we say that violates first principles. If you have different principles, depending on who's in the White House, you don't have principles at all. So go ahead and play this.
Here you go.
Any support. Your party brags about killing the Patriot Act. You don't want the NSA surveillance. You don't want data mining. Yes. We have Pat Leahy saying that he doesn't want a NSA surveillance program.
Nancy Pelosi, the woman who'd love to be speaker. She's against the NSA surveillance program.
Yeah,
you mentioned that. And you mentioned the very specific things, the Patriot Act, the NSA surveillance program.
The party that's weak on national defense, that doesn't want the Patriot Act, the NSA program, the data mining program.
Is it right to say that, for example, on issues involving national security, be it the NSA surveillance program, the data mining program, the Patriot Act, Guantanamo Bay, that Democrats are weak on issues involving national security?
And our techniques are working. We've got the NSA program here. We've got the Patriot Act program here. You know, in light of this, how close this was, it's staggering to me that we're even debating the use of these techniques in this country, even at this time.
Yeah, so Hannity doesn't even want there to be a debate when Bush is in office. He doesn't want anybody saying anything about the NSA, only the NSA spying everywhere all the time until, needle break, until Obama gets in office. And then
Big Brother is monitoring your every move, whether it be online or on the telephone. Let's talk about why this story, why is this important to you? Number one, this is America, and as law-abiding American citizens, you have a right to privacy. Number two, these actions by the Obama administration are clear, very clear violation of the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable search and seizure. Number three, the Constitution. It is our rule of law. If we do not respect and honor the Constitution, then anarchy and tyranny will there follow.
Anarchy and tyranny at the same time.
Explain why those are opposites.
Anarchy means self-rule, all right? It doesn't even mean lack of ruler. If you go back to the actual etymology, it means self-ordered or self-ruled. Tyranny is some outside external force from the top down controlling everything and everybody at the same time. Hey, newsflash, we're already there. People say we have a turnkey police state. I say if there's an agency big enough to spy on everybody all the time, building a $1.5 trillion-something dollar facility to store all the data and a similar facility across the country to go through and sift through all the data, then you're already there, man.
That's
more than East Germany could ever have imagined being able
to. But East Germany wouldn't have allowed the fiends, man. Hitler would not have allowed people on the radio speaking to hundreds of thousands of people at a time saying the current administration is horrible and you should consider alternatives. So I say as long as the fiends are on the radio, the key hasn't totally been turned.
Well, here's what it is we're free-range tax cattle, as Stefan Molyneux likes to say. They'll let us get away with certain things because it makes us feel like we're freer. It's not that we are freer. It's that they like the illusion. It's the difference
Brave
New World versus 1984, man.
I have never felt freer in my whole life than I feel when we're doing this radio show.
Yeah, me too.
And I worked hard to get to it. It wasn't like, you know, someone came along and said, hey, do you want a radio show? No, man, we crawled our way up to this. And now we're on six stations, and one of them's 50,000 watts, one of them's 25,000 watts, and that could be heard from space, man. That's how cool that is. So let's talk about Hannity and why he is doesn't have any principles, let alone first principles.
Well, he shoots himself in the foot, just like that last clip we watched. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just it, man. And that's why I don't listen to these pundits or put much faith in somebody. If they've made it to that level, they've shown that they're just a stooge for somebody in power or some
pundits
special interest
square.
That they're representing. And if a certain position suits them at any given time, they will take it and complain about the opposite position and vice versa. And so when the position is to complain about Barack Obama because he's in power and you want your stooge to be in power or your tyrant to be in power, then you're going to complain about the NSA being anti-Fourth Amendment. But when your dude's in power and he's doing the same thing, you're going to complain about the people complaining about it.
Also, if you believe in true first principles, if you have that in your heart of hearts – when someone points out that you're wrong and does it lovingly and debates, you can change, but you stay changed for the rest of your life. There's nobody who – there are people who say, well, I used to be a libertarian, then I grew up and became a statist. There's nobody who is a statist, becomes a libertarian, and then goes back. And a really good example for me, my wife, when I first met her, is before we were married, this is like eight years ago, I said to her – I don't care if the government spies on my email and my phone. I have nothing to hide. And her jaw dropped, and she explained to me why I should worry about it. And 10 minutes later, I believed in my heart of hearts that no government has the right to spy on me, and I've never varied from that a bit since. I just didn't have enough information. Now, Hannity is a flip-flopper, and he just believes if a guy who talks like me is being the tyrant, I agree with him. If a guy I disagree with and isn't like me, and it's not based on race at all, man, it's not what I'm saying. It's, you know, if he has a D after his name, I don't like him. If he has an R after his name, I like him, even if both guys are doing the same thing. Now, why is that wrong? Why is that not a way to be and not something to emulate and not someone to have as a hero, Nima?
Well, you know, like you just said, it violates first principles. The other big example of this, to tie it back into Snowden, is a lot of people are saying, well, this is different from other leaks. You know, it's not like Abu Ghraib because that was big enough and important enough. It's not a threshold based on principle for a lot of people. It's what the government feels like and if we feel the same way. So if the government feels like spying on everybody, that's okay. If the government feels like torturing some people in Abu Ghraib, maybe that's not okay. We can have a debate. But the threshold becomes within, you know, how it makes you feel, you know, how it works within the global geopolitical thing. You know, it doesn't become about, is this wrong or right? And if so, is it right or wrong all the time? People never want to debate principles. They only want to debate these little things that are inconsequential.
And, you know, there's an interesting disconnect between what a lot of these right-wing pundits, blowhards, people whose job we're going to take, of what they say, not just after if it's an R or a D, but whether it's the military or the people. Because Hannity and his ilk hated Bradley Manning and think that he should be lined up and shot. And that happened under Obama, but it involved leaks of the military. Whereas under Obama, leaks against everybody else, you know, the right wingers. I mean, I don't know that they like Snowden, but they like what he did, you know.
Some do. I don't know. I think that that's why Raimondo says this could be the big realignment or lead to it, is because I don't know if it's split along party lines like that.
Yeah,
I think some
not.
People.
There's Democrats and Republicans who want to have his head cut off. And there are Republicans and Democrats, mostly Democrats, but a few brave Republicans who are trying to pass a law to limit what the NSA can do to us. Good luck with that. And even if you pass it, good luck with it being implemented. The government says, I do what I want. I don't obey no laws. But yeah.
Well, they really do. And somebody brought up the point that under the NDAA that Barack Obama signed, he should be in Guantanamo right now for material support to terrorists in Syria.
Who, Obama should be? Yeah.
Yes.
Peter King, too, man. That congressman or whatever he is in New York State who says he's a Republican, man, he is like to the left of Nancy Pelosi on all the worst things. He is so anti-gun, anti-citizen, anti-free speech, anti-everything. That guy should be in Guantanamo. Right.
Well, it goes back to the only ones. Barack Obama is basically saying, I'm one of the only ones who gets to decide which terrorists get to have weapons and which ones don't. And, you know, that's the thing about all state edicts is they are enforced by the state. People always say, you can't trust Eric Holder to do an investigation on the Justice Department. Well, you can't trust any state official to call themselves out and to enforce the state's edicts on themselves because they're the ones doing the enforcing.
Another, go ahead.
Well, you know, people like to have this fantasy that there's, you know, different ambitions. We'll check different ambitions. I think one of the founding fathers said that. That's all we can trust is that some ambitious state people, statocrats, will check other ambitious statocrats. But really, the basic premise they all rest on is that the state is the most powerful thing. And, you know, the judges still want their paychecks and they get paid by the state. So they're not going to do anything to soil the to basically dookie where they eat, you know, for lack of a better term. They're not going to ruin their gravy train.
And I tend to agree a tiny bit with the average Republican blowhard more than the average Democrat. But that's kind of like saying, well, I like this mafia better than that mafia. I mean, I heard Glenn Beck the other day saying he was complaining about the woman who's being tapped to run the CIA because she had run a bookstore that had an erotica night once a month. And that's his problem with her. And I'm like, my problem is that there's a CIA. I mean, Republicans don't even have half measures. They have like thousandth measures of what they complain about, man.
Right. Yeah. How many people did that erotica night ever kill?
None.
Zero. None. How many wars did the erotica night start that didn't need to be started? Zero. How much blowback did that erotica night cause? Zero. And now ask yourself those same questions with the CIA. And it's self-explanatory.
Yeah. Yeah. And the weird thing is now, like with the NSA, there are black government agencies, shadow agencies that are like even less accountable or known than the CIA. How weird is that, man? NSA stands for No Such Agency, by the way. That's the joke.
That's great. All right. Well, stick with us, folks. We'll be back with the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review, where we'll break down everything we just said in nice little chunklets.
Chunklets.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Ew. It's the Freedom Fiends live.
Yo.
And this is the end of the show.
Eat, pray, shoot. That's what I do. Eat, pray, shoot, talk.
Yes. Fret you not, though. We've got the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review.
I'm dancing, man. I'm dancing to the Tweak in Review. I'm standing up. I'm not one of these old, weepy talk show hosts who cries in his chair. I am standing up. I'm punching the walls. I'm punching the air in my windowless bunker.
Yes. Right. Get it. Get it.
Got
twerk.
It.
It's the Freedom Fiends Twerk in Review. Yeah, twerk it, Michael. Yeah. All right. So, number one. Musicians, you are so square if you're talking about some politician you want to ascend to power. That is not what rock music is about, or hip hop, or any of that. It's about rebelling and freedom and doing your own thing and not buying into the establishment. And that's what life should be about too, man. And, you know, you brought up some notable examples like Eddie Vedder and people like that. But, man, my big thing is Jay-Z, man. Jay-Z used to rap about... He had this line where he said, government, F government, N-words politic themselves. You know, I'm keeping it radio friendly there. And now he's talking about hanging out with Barack Obama. And Kanye West talks about driving around town with Oliver North. And I hope Kanye's joking with that, but maybe not, man. I don't know. So that's it, man. Don't be square if you're a musician. Talk about personal freedom and life and partying and whatever it is, and real change. Don't talk about political change. All right. So next up. Electoral politics will not save you. That's one of the reasons it's square to talk about it. You know, because once your party wins, immediately, as soon as they ascend to power, they will stop caring about the principles they espoused and used to get themselves elected, and they will care only about the power and furthering it because they have it. You know, people have said revolutionaries become conservatives immediately when they win the revolution. And that's so true. And you can look at that throughout history. Look at the Iranian revolution. You know, the reason my dad didn't go back to Iran after his education in Mirka was the revolutionaries won. And then immediately after that, the state becomes a theocracy. And there's religious tyranny everywhere enforced by the state. You know, and those people were revolutionaries. They weren't fighting for an Islamic state against the Shah. They were fighting for freedom. But once there becomes a power structure again, man, then game over for the revolutionaries. So don't rely on things like electoral politics or political revolutions to change the world. Rely on yourself, man. Rely on educating people on first principles and against the state and reducing market demand for tyranny and the state.
And Google the phrase non-aggression principle if you don't know what it is, and read up on it. Non-aggression principle.
Do that. And the polar opposite of the non-aggression principle brings us to our third item for the Tweak and Review. Quote, the only ones. Now, that's obviously the concept basically espoused perfectly or exhibited perfectly by the cop shooting himself in the foot in front of the class after he says, I'm the only one in this room professional enough to hold this Glock 40. And then he immediately shoots himself in the foot. That sums it up all right there. Human beings are not perfect, and just because you get elected to office doesn't make you perfect, and just because you get hired as a goon, it doesn't make you perfect. You are not the only one professional enough. In fact, if you're a goon, you're not professional at all, because your job isn't being paid by people who want to pay for your services. It's paid for by tax money, which is stolen from people all the time.
Exactly.
And that's the first principle of this of the statist, is that there is a group of people, and this small group of people is the only ones who get to organize society. No. You know, political scientists will call governments and states a monopoly of violence. And that's just wrong, man.
Obama said that government is a monopoly of violence. That's not some term that libertarians made up to denigrate politicians. Politicians brag about it. They say we have the monopoly on violence in that region.
Yep. But we turn that on its head. We say, you, listener, you individual, you are the only one responsible for yourself, your defense, your economic viability. And all of us are like that. So the only one is really everyone when you think about the non-aggression principle. Everyone should be responsible for themselves and not rely. And you can't separate one individual and say that they're the tyrant and they get to decide. All right, so that's our Freedom Fiend show. Thank you so much for listening, folks. I, of course, am Nima Vedati representing Austin, Texas. And over there, send us out, Michael.
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location outside of Beast Lake, Wyoming, in Coyote Stole My Baby County, Wyoming. And we'll be back tomorrow on the Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archives.
All right, ladies.
Thanks, brother man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yes. Thank you.